And joining me in the KRVS studios are a wonderful cast of theater people who are going to be opening two amazing productions. They're all working with Acting Unlimited Incorporated. Acting Unlimited took on three productions this summer. The Guardians of Sanzome played last weekend, very critically acclaimed. People loved it. And this week you open two productions in Burke Theater on the UL campus. With me in the studios is Walter Brown, who's the treasurer and secretary of AUI, as well as their tech director, and Alicia Chasson, who is directing You're in Town, and Joseph Diaz, who is directing She Kills Monsters. So, first of all, I think people are amazed that you all have taken on three productions that opened so close to each other. It's not like you did one each month this summer. You worked so hard over the summer with lots of actors, a lot of young people, and it's just a really intense opening season. So I think, first of all, before I talk with the different directors, Walter, I'd just kind of like you to recap, to let people know about AUI and what y'all's focus is. As a production company, a theater company?
Well, our focus for Acting Unlimited is to try to be, as Jackie Lyle said, a platform for emerging artists. Our goal is to act as sort of venture capitalists for creative people in this area, to give people a chance to get out there, get their work seen, get a chance to develop their skills as actors, get a chance to open the door for directors, actors, new writers.
And you all have used a variety of venues in the community. You don't have one particular theater. You've performed at Cité des Arts. You performed at Theater 810. And now you are at Burke Hall Theater. Is there something that dictates the venue? Is it the type of production that you do? I mean, as tech director, do you make those kinds of decisions about venues?
At the moment, what we do is our smaller shows go into Theater 810, but our big summer shows come here at Burke. It's an arrangement that we've made with the University Performing Arts Department. They come and present a show with us, and they also do Festival International for us, and then we get Burke in the summer.
Mm-hmm. So you do not only wonderful large productions, but you do some very interesting, smaller, experimental, sometimes original works. For example, Guardians of Sanzome was written by Cody Daigh. And so you really have a wide variety of performances. Now, what's interesting about these two performances is they will alternate. You will open, is it You're in Town or She Kills Monsters?
She Kills Monsters opens first
okay.
on Thursday the 15th of August.
All right. So that's going to be this Thursday. You set
that will
up
be tomorrow.
For She Kills Monsters, and then you move the set, and the next night you've got You're in Town, the musical.
Well, that's right. She Kills Monsters is running Thursday and Saturday, and mm-hmm. we're running Friday and Sunday this weekend and next weekend.
All right. As the tech director, that must have been a really interesting dance, Walter.
Yes, it has been.
but as we were saying earlier, you made some really great decisions about, and I guess we'll get into that with some of the sets, things that weren't too hard to move.
That's right.
Something that could easily be switched out for the nights. Well, let's start off with She Kills Monsters, which opens on Thursday. And Joseph, you've been working with AUI for a while, I guess, for several years now.
I've been with AUI for probably about 4 or 5 years now. My first show that I really worked on extensively with AUI was Bat Boy, mm-hmm. which was 3 years ago. I think so. I think it was. I honestly don't remember very well.
There've been so many productions since then.
But for that show, I was lighting designer and lighting technician, which I do again in She Kills Monsters. I have also done light design for that show.
But you've been acting for a long time, even before you started with AUI, haven't you? You've had
I have, in fact, a long history in theater. I've really been in theater probably for the last 10 years of my life, and really steadily for the last 8 years. I started over in Liberia at IPAL, doing chorus roles for the musicals, and now I'm doing my own directing. So I guess it's certainly a fair number of steps up.
Absolutely. I think that's an interesting transition from actor to director. Were you always attracted to the idea of directing your own show? Was that something you studied when you were an actor? You kind of watched how things were done?
It wasn't so much that I watched how they were done, rather that I sort of like internally critiqued them. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, what would I have done in this situation? If an actor was doing that, how would I have fixed it? How would I have changed this lighting design? How would I have done this show differently. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting now to be able to do that myself and think, oh, I could have done this differently, or I could have done that better. I do that a lot to myself.
Well, I would imagine that is one of the signs of a great director, constantly assessing what you're doing. Well,
I'd like to think so.
This play, She Kills Monsters, is written by a young playwright. Were you instrumental in helping to choose this play? How did you all choose this particular play?
What happened actually was that Marie Diaz, who's also heavily involved in AUI, showed me the play because she knows that I'm interested myself in tabletop role playing and things of that nature. And she essentially just said, hey, look at this. It's a show about role-playing. And I looked at it, and it's – I don't want to say it spoke to me because that's such a cliche term. But it honestly – it had a lot to it that I thought could be really easily brought out and that I thought deserved to be brought out. The show itself is really nuanced and has a lot more going on than you initially see on the surface. And it was that I wanted to really – explore, that I wanted to have the chance to really go through and understand.
So it sounds like something personally resonated with you, but you saw the potential as a play and things that you could do with it, helping actors to achieve in that play.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what was it that resonated with you personally?
One of the big themes in the show is it's about two sisters, and one of them, very early on in the play, and this is a spoiler, but it happens in the first scene, so I'm not feeling too bad about it. But the younger sister dies. And the two sisters have, 8 years between them. And in some ways like that, it's very hard to, have a connection between the two of them. And I have two younger sisters, one of whom is 11 years younger than me. So that particular situation of never being able to really understand your sibling and never having that chance to connect with them when you're both adults, when you can both have that kind of emotional connection, mm-hmm. that really hit me hard. I thought it hit really close to home because that situation, just the idea of it terrified me.
Mm-hmm. Being taken away from you and
exactly.
never having that option.
And how do you move on from that? Mm-hmm. How can you possibly live a life knowing that you'll never be able to have that chance? Mm-hmm. Or that even – that you wasted the chance in the past to get to know that person.
Would you describe – I know with AUI, Marie and Cody have talked a lot about theater for young audiences. Would you describe this play as one for young audiences or
no,
for all ages? Okay.
I really wish it were, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of very adult themes in the show and there's a lot of extremely adult language in the show.
Well, one of the conversations we've had a lot with Cody is this idea that young people are really very drawn to very difficult, sophisticated subjects, unlike what most adults think they're ready mm-hmm. for. So it was just kind of interesting as you're describing that it sounds like it. But this really is geared more towards an adult audience.
It certainly is. I agree definitely the young people are drawn to more complex subjects and should be encouraged in doing so. And this show, I think, would be wonderful for children to get involved in, except for the fact that there's a fair amount of discussion of things that aren't appropriate for a younger audience.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the actors who are in it. You mentioned the sisters. Who are the two actresses?
The two sisters, the older sister, Agnes Evans, is played by Erin Segura, who's been very active in local theater. She was also in Bat Boy, and she's been in AUI shows since. The younger sister is played by Shannon Kennist, who is, once again, a practiced AUI actor. But this is her first time in a role as big as this one. And let me just say, I have never been more impressed by two actors than with these two. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely astonishing to see how they've grown over the course of the show.
Mm-hmm. So even though the sister dies in the beginning, she still has role.
She still has a pretty big role to play, yeah. I won't tell you what exactly.
I won't. And again, remember the title of it, She Kills Monsters.
Yes.
Without giving anything away, can you tell us what that means?
Well, it's pertaining to the aspects of the show that go into Dungeons and Dragons, into tabletop role-playing. Mm-hmm. Role-playing was, I believe, originally devised as a method of therapy, of coping with things and using hypothetical situations to cope with more difficult real-life situations. And it's used very much in that aspect here in dealing with the loss of her sister. And a lot of that is portrayed as Dungeons and Dragons situations, as monster fights, as hypothetical conversations between Agnes and her little sister.
So these monster fights and the scenes you're talking about, these are actually acted out on stage.
Oh, yes. Yes. There are no less than at least 9 full battles that take place on stage.
And let me ask, has Stephen Cooper been involved in this?
He hasn't, actually. He hasn't. We've had a different certified fight combatant. Okay. His name is Ken Harrelson. He actually works here at UL. He's the tech director at Agile. And he's been an invaluable asset in learning how to fight. Because, let me just say, I'm hesitant to give actors pointy props, much less actual metal swords.
So how are they doing with these fight scenes?
They've done... At the beginning, I was hesitant. I'm not gonna lie here. But they've grown an astonishing amount, and now they look really comfortable on stage using these weapons against each other.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a, you know... Audiences are very conscious of that. If fighting doesn't go well, you really know it. It's like you can almost forgive slightly bad acting more than you can bad fighting.
Yeah, it's fight choreography is very much like a dance. Mm-hmm. It's just a dance that happens to involve swords.
Right.
And when someone makes a misstep in that dance, it's noticeable. But they've run these fights 1,000 times until their hands bleed. Mm-hmm. Not literally. Mm-hmm.
What about the costumes?
The costumes we've tried to keep fairly simple for the most part. Although the ones that take place in the Dungeons & Dragons world are, of course, more complicated and have more fantasy elements to them.
Right.
Think a combination of, like, The Matrix and Lord of the Rings.
That's very attractive.
I know, right?
A lot of people wanting to go to see that. I just want to tell people who may be tuning in, my guests are with Acting Unlimited Incorporated. Joseph Diaz is directing She Kills Monsters, which opens Thursday night. And Alicia Chasson directs Urinetown, the musical, which opens on Friday night. And the two alternate running through the weekend. And you can find out more information through either the website or Facebook pages if you need to check on dates for either of those. So this is a young playwright, I guess one of her first plays?
His, actually.
His, okay.
Kiwin, he's been fairly prolific, actually, for being so young. This one in particular, though, has won several awards, and it's been well recognized. I believe there are some, though, that it's been performed quite so far south, though. It's been more of a sensation in the more northern, more... I guess urban environments like Chicago, New York, places like that.
Well, once again, that reflects so well on our theater community with organizations like AUI bringing more edgy, experimental plays to our community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's She Kills Monsters, opening again on Thursday and directed by Joseph Diaz. Alicia is directing Urinetown, the musical.
Yes.
And I know, even though it's been performed here in Lafayette before, still when people hear that title, it's like, a musical? Really? Give us a recap of that musical and just a bit of its history and what it's about.
Absolutely. So Urinetown, the musical, was on Broadway from 2001 to 2004. It was written – the music was by Mark Hallman, and the books and the lyrics were by Greg Kotis. Greg Kotis was actually one of the founding members of the New York Neo-Futurists, and I was a member of the Neo-Futurists when I lived in New York. So we have a special – I don't know him, but we have a special tie to the show that way. The basic premise of the story is that there's been a drought for 20 years, and in an effort to conserve water, they've made it illegal to go to the bathroom anywhere but at a public bathroom where you have to pay a fee to use. So, of course, as you can imagine, that...
You know, I try to imagine the look on someone's face when this was first proposed.
Yes, absolutely. So, as you can imagine, the poor don't take kindly to having to pay so much, and a rebellion happens. Even in the first song, it says, one of the lyrics are, it's the oldest story, masses are oppressed. So I'm not giving anything away there.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely it's a funny, satirical musical with lots of – it's dealing with some serious subjects, but in a very accessible way.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it was received very well. It ran
for
so long.
Very well. It actually was nominated for 10 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, and it won 3 for – let me check my notes here – the Best Book of a Musical, Best Original Score, and Best Direction of a Musical. So it was extremely well received.
So are there songs that are kind of singable? Do you find your cast goes around just singing songs from your
Urinetown? Absolutely. I can't tell you how many of them have sent me emails telling me, I have this song in my head. But it's actually – many songs. The one that most people know, even the most recognizable one, is Run Freedom Run. But I actually like several of the other songs much more than that one. So it's the songs are also sort of different genres. So it's not like a rock musical or a gospel musical. Each scene, the music has its own genre.
Kind of appropriate to mm-hmm. the situation.
That's right.
And
yeah.
the emotional feeling. Mm-hmm. Well, even though it's performed on Broadway, everyone kind of knows how it goes, I'm sure there's a lot of interpretation available for a director like
Absolutely.
Yourself. When you were considering directing it, what kinds of things did you want to impart in the musical or change from the way it was originally done?
Certainly. I actually didn't ever see it and didn't watch any of the YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I just read it and saw what spoke to me, as Joseph said earlier. And the story that I find most interesting in here is that it's the story of what happens when people are too afraid to compromise, that they grab on to this one issue that's very emotional to them and affects them so personally that they can't see the facts around them, that any rational person would say, well, of course you can't just use up all the water because then there won't be any water and then what mm-hmm, happens? Mm-hmm. But neither side is willing to compromise, so nobody wins. And that's a story I wanted to tell because I think it's very appropriate to our time and what's happening in politics and filibusters mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that and in this age where a news thing will pop up on your Facebook feed and it says like, overweight man kicked off United flight. And it makes you angry, but you don't actually click on it and read the story.
Right.
And then you find out later that it was because he like stabbed someone, mm-hmm. not because he was overweight.
We make these opinions very quickly without
That's right.
knowing what's going on. Well, how do you deal with the – I mean, these are very serious topics you're dealing mm-hmm. with. How did you approach the comedy aspect in the musical and the fact that there's a lot of music going on? How did you create a balance or what is the balance in the musical that you set up between the serious issues and the comedy?
Well, it's mostly – I would say that it is a comedy that deals with serious issues in that it's poking fun at things, but then by the end of it, the audience is leaving thinking about things like conservation and politics, which are things that you don't go in thinking about. Mm-hmm. You think like Urinetown, it's a funny name, and then the songs are funny, and there's a narrator who's talking, who's explaining to the audience what's going to happen,
right.
And pointing out all these the things that the audience is thinking. And so it really, in the writing, the comedy is there. It's just about the timing, as we all know with comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's about crafting those moments with a rhythm and when they are to the audience and when they are to each other. And we've had a lot of fun finding all those things out.
Well, tell us just a bit about your cast that you're using to create all this great
yes,
timing.
Yes. I'm so grateful to have the people that I'm working with. I only knew 5 of the people who auditioned, and I have a cast of 35 people, and then I have 6 people on production staff and 6 people in the orchestra. So it's the biggest thing I've ever done.
Music.
Absolutely. And these cast members are from all walks of life. We have a pharmacist, we have a minister, we have a homeschooling mom, and then we have children, and it's all over the map. It's so such a diverse cast in terms of experience and interest. And they have just come and given their whole summer to having this great time with us to make this show. And some of them have more experience than others. Like there's some members of the Silverbacks. There's some people that have graduated through UL's vocal performance group. But they have just brought it and they've been so open and willing to be silly and trusting me that I won't let them look bad on stage, that it's a good kind of silly.
Well, tell us about that space that you're performing in. There are a lot of people in our audience who have still never attended a performance in Burke Hall Theater, and it's a great space. It's beautiful, but it has its challenges, I guess, the larger your performance gets.
Yes.
Describe what it feels like working
yeah,
on that stage.
It's been wonderful. I mean, I don't know where else in town we could have done with this many. I would have mm-hmm. had to not cast all the people mm-hmm. that I ended up casting. It's been interesting. There's so much space in the audience. It's so comfortable, and even though it seats about 200,
I think
it's you feel very comfortable, and you still feel very close to the action.
Right. There's a real it's stadium seating, mm-hmm. and it's kind of an intensity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, one of the biggest challenges for Urinetown is that you have this 6-person orchestra and 45 singers, and how do you get that the music balance and the sound? That's been one of the biggest – our challenge with the space. Otherwise, it's been just making them stand together closer so mm-hmm. they can all be on stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a great space, too, because you can have so many people attend. I mean, mm-hmm. even more than Cité, where y'all did Bat Boy, about 200 seats. So how do people get tickets? Do they go to your website? Do they just purchase them at the door? Can they reserve tickets,
yes,
Walter?
Yes, people can reserve tickets ahead. They can call our box office number at 484-0172. They can also find either show through Eventbrite. Eventbrite, You're in Town. Eventbrite, She Kills Monsters. They can go to our website for either Acting Unlimited or for Theater 810, and they'll get the information that way as well.
So lots of ticket venues.
That's right.
Yeah. No excuses.
Right. And, you know, Walter, I guess I kind of wanted to ask you a couple questions, too, about, I mean, I'm listening to these fascinating descriptions of performances these two young directors are doing, and you've been working in theater for a very long time. I remember early on when you came back, you got immediately involved in theater in a variety of organizations. And just give us a sense of, I guess, how you feel like theater has developed in Lafayette since you came back and started working in theater again.
There's quite a bit more theater mm-hmm. now since when I first came back. When I first came back from graduate school, really there was only Acting Unlimited at the time. Gloria Brough had founded it to kind of empower women in theater, and she pretty much kept theater alive single-handed for a while until mm-hmm. Maureen was able to get Cité up and running.
Right. I mean, there were some theaters in the smaller communities around.
Around us, yeah. Mm-hmm. Abbey Players was quite active at the time. The Evangeline Players began much after we did in St. Martinville, and we also predated IPAL.
That's right. I was very surprised when Marie told me the date that Acting Unlimited started, because we've really become so conscious of you in the past 3 to 4 years with the musicals and other productions. Well, also, what's your sense of the quality of production? I mean, you must feel a certain sense of, I don't know, pride or just gratification in what you see with these young people who you've watched come up through these theater programs.
Oh, yeah. Part of our goal right from the start, and part of the goal for Acting Unlimited has always been to try to build up enough of a vibrant, diverse theater community here that people would begin to look at us the same way they look at film, and to try to keep people who are talented in theater in this area so they have a way to be able to pursue their goals and pursue their dreams and not have to leave the area, and so that people from other areas would come in here to see the theater, partake in the cultural events here. And so we're very happy to see all the different theater companies coming up. We haven't fostered all of them, but I think we've helped to create an atmosphere where they could thrive. And, of course, the more companies that succeed, the more people want to see theater, the more bigger the talent pool for all of us. So, yes, I'm very happy about
that. That's right. More is just more. And, you know, a lot of young people like yourself, Joseph, might have headed off to New York or someplace by now.
It's actually very likely. My sister mm-hmm. actually went out to New York for college, and I think it happens a lot. People who are interested in theater think there's just nothing for them here.
Right.
There's nothing that they can be offered because there are no real professional equity theaters down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they go off in search of opportunities elsewhere, which means that our talent pool here shrinks down constantly.
Mm-hmm. Although it does seem to be growing right now. And
it
here
does.
We have an example on the other side of the table, someone who lived in New York, mm-hmm. acted, directed in New York,
yes.
but now you live here.
That's right.
And tell us what your reaction to being here and doing theater in this community. What's
yeah.
it like?
Well, I'll start by saying I moved here because I married a chasson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And,
a lot of ways, back door,
that's
all kinds
right.
of ways to get
And we wanted to start having mm-hmm. children, and so we wanted to be around family, and the choice was between here and my hometown, which is in Missouri, and for several reasons, but one of the biggest reasons that we chose here is because there is such a vibrant arts community that we knew as performing artists that we could, if not make money at what we were doing, at least do what we love, and that there would be very easily accessible to us. And what I've noticed is even in the 2 years that I've lived here is more companies popping up here and there. And something that I'm very happy to see is that I've also noticed more intermingling between those companies, where when I first came, it was very, I work with these people or I work with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But now with shows like You're in Town and some other shows, people are starting to cross those borders and make a stronger, full community instead of factioning off.
Right. And what do you notice about the quality of repertoire, of literature, the kinds of plays that are being produced here?
I think that it's very ambitious. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of unknown plays that are being produced, whether they're local or just new, or maybe it's even just because the rights are cheaper, whatever the reason, I do think that it's that people are taking risks with what they choose. They're not just going with the easy thing all the time. And sometimes that challenges an audience, and mm-hmm. Sometimes that makes it more difficult to build somebody that comes back and back and back. But I do think that it's good that we're not just seeing like Grease all the time, mm-hmm. And those like just doing a crowd pleaser. That I feel like they're really challenging themselves, you know. And the quality depends on experience and training and all those things. But if you don't do it, you can't ever get better. So right. Experience is what really makes it work.
Well, and I've also heard the comment that it's actually easier here to be experimental and try things that are new. There's not a lot of exterior apparatus that prevents you. It's much easier to be flexible here and to try new things in this community. And people are kind of willing to mm-hmm. to go. The theater going community seems to have grown as well. Yeah. Is that something you've noticed, Walter, that more people go to the theater now?
Yeah, I think with more people participating, of course, they bring their friends and their family, and then those people begin to bring their friends and family. And there's such a wide variety of types of theater, from musicals, revues, comedies, dramas, original works, classic works, that people are beginning to see that something they enjoy is showing up almost every month somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is really helping to increase audience.
Right. And they're willing to just go and try something that they might not have before.
Yeah. If you like two or three shows in a row, you'll try the fourth. Mm-hmm. And if you're not crazy about it, but you come back and you like the fifth and the sixth, you'll keep trying new stuff.
Right. Well, if you are just tuning in, we have a couple new things that you can try this week. My guests are with Acting Unlimited Incorporated. Walter Brown is the treasurer and secretary of AUI, as well as the tech director. Alisa Chasson is directing You're in Town, the musical. Joseph Diaz is directing She Kills Monsters, which will open on Thursday. You open first, and then you do a switch, and You're in Town will open on Friday. So how many performances of She Kills Monsters, Joseph?
We have four performances each of both shows.
Okay. And what are the times?
The times are 7:30 in the evening, I mm-hmm. believe, for both shows.
Yes. Except for Sunday's Year in Town is at 3
That's
o'clock.
True. My apologies.
Right. Okay. And ticket information available through all of the venues that Walter was mentioning, Facebook pages,
right.
Eventbrite sites. Just kind of type that in, either You're in Town, the musical, or She Kills Monsters, and you can find out about tickets. About 200 seats. It's a little more space, but you should probably reserve your tickets ahead of time and make sure that you do get to see it, because sometimes that happens. You've been meaning to, and then you just don't get around to it.
And AUI is not known for having small audiences.
No, you all sell out, so... Mm-hmm. Might be a good idea to get those tickets. Again, You're in Town, the musical, opening on Friday, and directed by Alicia Chasson, and Joseph Diaz directing She Kills Monsters. Well, thank you all for your work this summer. I've been watching everyone coming in and out of this building all summer long, and I have to say they are so enthusiastic, whether they're kids or people that you're describing and from all walks of life in the community. You've really offered them this great opportunity, and for the rest of us to see these wonderful productions. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.